And now Iowa Contemporary Art presents ICON Art Radio.
Hello out there. This is Bill Tiefel, Alan Cobb, and Donna Colby, and this is ICON Art Radio. Once again, we have in the studio Jim Shrosbury, whose magnificent show is at the ICON Gallery through November 20th. So you have plenty of time to go down and see it. The hours are... Actually, we have special hours for this show. Monday through Saturday, 12 to 4. And there's a couple of art walks in there where you get a chance to come out and party and hopefully look at the art. We always encourage people to come back and actually have the real experience other than the art walk. Well, last week we had a great discussion of your work. I think we touched on this visual poetry that's pulsing on the wall of the gallery. I don't know if we brought out exactly the interpenetration of... we talked about the paintings, and we talked about the sculpture, and we talked about the functional work that's in the upper mezzanine that was created by Peace Project Ceramics, and Jim Shrosbury designed that show. But it's the work down in the main gallery that is... blows my mind. It knocks my socks off, and all those things that you say about art that moves you deeply. But there's this incredible mix of sculpture and painting. And we talked last week about this balance between levity and gravity, and he emerged out of a field where everything is heavy. And there was this equilibrium he was going for with the ceramic pieces, hanging them on the wall and creating this tension between their inherent weightiness and levity. And I felt that was a very interesting pursuit. I feel this work is just like this incredible equilibrium that's been attained, and the work that's gone beyond ceramics into all of the materials that seem to be the form play materials that he works with. We didn't say last week how there's this... I love abstract painting. We talked about the layering in his paintings, but how he mixes the layering and the emergence of forms in the sculptures on the wall is just delightful, because all of those things I enjoy in terms of layering of illusory space in painting is at play. And there's also elements, real physical elements emerging, and it's just a mm-hmm. lovely, perfect and beautiful dialogue going on there.
I have a question related to that with the... it's similar to what we talked about last week with the relationship between the drawings and the paintings. I mean, the drawings and paintings and the sculptures. What is the relationship between the choice of materials, the specific materials, the fabric and the wire and the wood and everything, and the piece that's coming out? Is that like also a very interactive thing that as you're working in some concept or some direction, you just kind of know what material to use for that piece or the color? How does it all emerge, and does it change much in process?
Well, those are things that I'm continually discovering, and the question's good, because it's one of the hardest questions to answer. It's really answered through the work. There are particular properties that wire, when it has a transparent fabric like nylon stretched over it, begins to take on. And the wire is then, it has some sizing put on it, glue, and how thick the glue is important. How because then it will be very transparent if it has a very thin layer, and if it has a very thick layer or a couple of thick layers, it starts to get glassy and translucent. And so it breathes on one side, maybe. If one side is glassy, the other side is very transparent and yet has some pigment in it, it will breathe and glow maybe yellow onto the wall on one side. On the other side, the way the light hits it, because you can control things in the white box of the gallery with a single light or double light, however you want to light it, it will reflect. And on one side you can see through to the other side into the interior of the piece. And these questions are only answered by responding to what I see as the piece is developing. It's set up. A big part of answering a question that Alan asked last week, how do you know when the work is complete? A big part of that is being able to know be able to set up the conditions for the work to develop, how to set it up. And I set up a few pieces at a time and take them to a certain stage and then move them, maybe all at, this is how I work, all to the next stage at about the same time. And the other part of it is having an adequate vocabulary and an expanding vocabulary so that you can respond to the situation. You bring this to the situation a number of possibilities. It's very much like a quarterback being able to have several receivers and options, and being aware of those options that are out there, and not just seeing that there is one guy and there's another and I've just got to throw it there. But if there is some distance from what you're doing, then you see these options, and that is what is important in that particular moment, is having broad awareness. That's something that's developed through meditation, through TM. That's what, and that's how it becomes active in every moment in life and every moment in the creative process. If you want to separate those, it's all a creative process, but the studio process. So, really, art is not about making things. It's what we call art is not about making things. It's about creating conditions for things to fall out on their own effortlessly.
Nice. So in the process of this allowing, I'm comparing it to my own experience as a writer and how there is also this flow and things are just like coming together, patterns are falling together, words are coming out. But at certain points, I find that I need to stop and essentially research something, whether it's researching it within my own mind or going to some book and getting some piece of information.
Yes.
So how does that come into play with your work? What kind of research, if any, do you do when you're working?
I don't have any history research to deal with. I guess the equivalent to that is that I go home or I go away and come back, sleep on it, and whatever happens in between is spontaneous research. I find that somebody will come up and say something. Alan might come up and say something about a material which he often does, is, you know, it's just a gift. And then I think about it in a certain way, or I'm reading a book, or you run into somebody at a student at school, something that's said, or you see something in a certain way, and it's the answer. And I think that those conditions are in the mind, and that's why you continually, must as in writing, you know, those things come, they just come, you know, it's the condition, and they come to you, and then they come back out. And so the research is just, I mean, I don't go after things, and like, I don't, in the sense that I start to get on something and I don't have to research it like a writer would, because a writer needs to, it seems, you need to know what kind of ship that was, all about the, if it was 1943 and how many floors it had, all of the way, the pathways and the possibilities to be convincing, and things that were different at that time than they are now. If you want to convince somebody that that this is actually a story that engages that time.
So since your pieces are timeless,
either way, anything can be made timeless.
But it is that he's dealing in the realm of non-representational abstraction.
Right.
If you're a visual artist that paints landscapes or something, or historical scenes, and you do have to do the research and set up all the preliminary photos and things that you work from to establish costumes and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't meaning research quite so literally, though. I would guess I was more, the question was more about, as you're progressing in a certain direction, are there times when you have to stop and go in a different direction, or just, you know, take one particular little element you're working on and just focus on that for a while?
Yeah, that's nice. I think it just depends upon whether you're, how much you're interrupted, and if there is a long interruption, then sometimes you can't get back into the same stream, and something else will happen. I love what Picasso said about painting and research, and that it really had nothing to do with this. The word research had nothing to do with painting. Because he found that it was just a process of finding and not searching. I realize that writing is just a different thing, and in order to, it has to have that. Films have to have that. But, and some of the areas that Bill's talking about, the one thing that happens is that it may call up, okay, I'm starting to hit on this, and I walk away, I'm starting to hit on Nam Gabo. I'm going to think about his work or go look at it. Or I might decide I don't want to look at it. Just depending. But it's nice to be aware, and that's the importance of art history and any history, because you can, at that point, take the time, You exercise the choice to go into that or not. And I think that this conversation is one over time that we have with other artists, so that there are certain types of artists that relate to other types of artists. And if you find your type, your group, then you can find them all the way down to, all the way back to Lascaux. And they're brothers and sisters in arms all the way through time. And you see what they did. And of course, you know, it expands us. We know that we're just a small blip in that lineage. But it's our particular DNA, the patterns, our attractions and repulsions and so on, that put us with them, and knowing what kind of what type you are, your body type, and all that has a with your Vata Pitta Kapha, it has an effect. And I think that there are certain kinds of art that fit into, you know, a Holbein isn't Kokoschka. And
but I'll go back to this point of, can you be at a point of visualizing and a visual element that's needed in a piece, and yet you don't know what material object you're going to use to accomplish that? So do you go out and try to figure out what material object might
researching materials?
I could
materials,
see that would be a researching point that I could see you might get into.
Yeah, that's a good question. And then you might play with those materials. I don't throw pieces away very often. And so this really applies to pieces that are, when I answered your question, Donna, it was in terms of pieces that are immediate, especially this work, because it's, but a lot that's in the gallery, but a lot of work, it's unresolved and I put it in drawers, then I come back to it later if I'm feeling in that mood, and I'll pick something up. I'll know it's there. I'll be working on something. I may pull this out and it'll come to a conclusion in 5 minutes because this was the answer to it. And so
nice.
Working on one piece is the research for the resolving another. And when you're working on even an immediate, in the immediate sense, if there are three pieces that you have in your attention, then the color here may not, that you've got for this one may not work, but it, yeah, that's the answer for that one. You have to be careful because that color can't be a formula or that dot or whatever it is for all of them. And if it is, say you're just going to work with dots, then that has to be adjusted, the size of them, the proximity, or stripes, the distance from each other and all has to fit that particular situation.
So exploration is probably a better word to use than research, because you're exploring all these options that you were talking about before, and you're field of exploration is not bound by the present time, so you can go back to what you've done before. The previous work you've done before can come forward into what you're doing now, and so it's kind of this meandering through all of this whole
realm. Maybe it's more non-linear than a linear thing that has to take place within a non-linear structure.
I liked that you talked about it as a conversation last week. And because I feel that every shape and every color is a statement. It's actually like saying something. And so your pieces really do feel like this dialogue and conversation between all these elements of form, each one representing a certain, you know, I'm me, I'm this, and I'm in this conversation. And the other one's saying, yes, I'm me, and I relate to you this way. And it's really kind of a cool way of looking at it.
Well, I think the conversational element, too, is a big part of the ceramic work, the striped and polka-dotted plates that you have up in the upper level, which are found all over town in people's houses and in the at-home store in various contexts. And I think each time one of those plates finds a home, they are then able to have a dialogue with that environment and the people who use it, whether they use it to eat on or to keep some trinkets on in their home or just have it as an art piece on display. Do you get a lot of feedback from people who have given a home to those ceramic pieces?
Well, that's a beautiful point about anything that you use, that it becomes it can be used on a daily basis, and it becomes an extension of, it's a part of the ritual of eating or socializing, and it enriches the process, hopefully, and it has some, it gains value. People, by interacting with them, handling them, washing them when they're through using them, and being forced to turn it in different ways and feel the weight of it and all, is a sculptural experience. But there is another dimension there, that it's being used, and that's different than the pieces that are on the wall. They're not being used for a mundane thing. That it's visual, and the purpose of the functional work is to heighten something that is mundane. That's why we want to have beautiful food and that tastes good. And essentially, eating could be very mundane. It could be porridge with nothing, no taste at all. But look at all the cultural cuisines that are around the world, and they're created so that all of the cells in the body are enlivened and that people feel happy when they eat and they talk and have fun and feel settled and comfortable when they're through. So it's really an ingrained part of culture, that business is of functional ceramics.
This is a great point. I mean, it just kind of hit me how that element of your work in that restaurant setup installation in the upper level is a natural extension of the subtle birth work, you know, that takes place in the work, more abstract work down below, because that's what life does at its deepest level. You know, it has this subtle, completely unbounded state of potential, and then the tender impulse of manifestation, and then growth, and what you take it to a certain point in the abstract work, and then when you go up to that upper level in the exhibit, it's like you're right there in the middle of where it's all going as the process continues. And so that's a nice balance of the two elements of the show, I think.
What a nice way to perceive it. That's nice. Thank you. I have put those together because I want the shows together because I wanted to show how one is feeding another. But the way you just spoke about it is really wonderful. That one is a tender. I mean, because I need both of those in order to create either one of them. Mm-hmm. I need both of those because I don't just make sculpture all of the time. I enjoy doing the ceramics project, and it is more alive because of the sculpture, and the sculpture is more alive. So they are feeding each other on that level, but also formally, there are a lot of things that cross in formally, meaning the actual shapes, colors, and those considerations, lines, tones, the way the tables are designed, and the wall selection of wall color, that visually, that work is driven by color up in the restaurant.
And do you make the tables as well?
I designed them, and they were made by my wife Kathy and Doug Adams.
And so they're very beautiful.
Thank you.
Too, I think they're definitely a crucial part of the whole.
Well, I love I feel like that is approaching something. I think that mezzanine and what you're doing with the Peace Project ceramics and the restaurant, I want to see how this progresses, because I feel like you're just launching into something that has to do with an integration of functional environment, visual patterning, and individual pieces. It's very exciting to see what's happening up there.
Well, that's a kind of pilot. That little setup, that installation, is a pilot for a couple of other future venues that we have are interested. One of them in Chicago, and then the University of Iowa Museum, hoping that we'll do something there.
Well, I'm really looking forward to watching this thing progress. But that there's an interesting balance of elements. It's just exciting.
So many of your pieces are poised, as if arrested action or some motion is about to begin. Have you ever considered actual kinetic sculpture?
Yes, but I'm slow getting around to things. Uh-huh. It's fun. It'd be fun to work with you on it. Right now, I'm just going deeply into these things and all these new things that are bitten off become new commitments that take time. But it's a good thought, and I have little motors and stuff, but I've never really gotten anything that I felt was as good as the stuff that isn't moving.
Well, motion is a vast dimension. You know, when you think of it in the abstract, it's a whole new direction that something can literally go in. And motion, I mean, I'm dealing with I guess a lot of kind of minimalist things in my work, and it's always challenging to think about adding another element, because then you have the whole, you know, spectrum of that element and all the different directions that it leads to.
Boy, these half hours have just zipped by in an eye blink. This has been absolutely amazing.
I'm glad we could all sit down together, and thank you so much for coming. Jim Shosbury. I always forget in the middle of the show to say who we're interviewing, so I'm sorry to the audience if you're in the middle, you wondered, as you tuned in the middle, who this person is. Jim Shosbury, our featured artist at ICON through November 20th.
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Saturday, Monday through Saturday. 12 to 4.
You've been listening to ICON Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.